don't write songs to be famous. I write songs because I don't know what I'd do if I didn't.
Hi, this is Cherise Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. Today's episode is all about the recent release of Back to Black, the much talked about Amy Winehouse biopic directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. In this episode, I'm going to try and talk about Amy's impact, talk about the director's own history, the strong feelings against the movie even before it was made, and I'm going to end the episode by sharing my conversation with hair and makeup designer Peter Dunstall, as well as my own thoughts on watching the film. The reason I said I'm going to try with this episode is because I've really learned that it's impossible to please everybody. I've learned that because of looking at all of the criticism that the film has received. The director Sam's received criticism. The casting of Marisa Abella as Amy Winehouse has received criticism. And I just think it's easy to criticize. And it's also impossible to please everybody. I'll revisit that later on in the show. But for me, this is an episode created out of wanting to share something. I do love to look behind the scenes of things, and Amy Winehouse has to be one of the most impactful people who had such a short life but made a huge impact when it came to not only her voice but also how she looked. So Back to Black was released in the UK first, and I think that makes sense because if not everybody in the UK, most of us here in the UK has something that we can say about Amy. You can't mention her name without someone telling you either what they loved about her, which song was their favorite. They might even have a tattoo of her, or they will definitely know where they were when they heard the news that she had passed away at just 27. The film is set for US release on May the 17th, and I'm really interested to see how it does over there. I'm wondering if the criticism is the same over there. So if you're one of my listeners who lives in the States, please let me know if you go and watch it and let me know what people are saying. You can always find me in the DMs over on Instagram at Beauty Me Podcast. Before we get into it, normally anything that's film or TV focused would come with a spoiler alert. But I think that if you know who Amy Winehouse was, then you already know how this story ends. So I don't think I'm giving you any real spoilers here. Also, I'm not here to give you Amy's biography, and neither is the film, by the way. It's been described as a fairy tale love story told from Amy's point of view, and I think if you go and see it, that's actually what you will see. If you wanted to know more about Amy, I do know that there was a 2008 Amy Winehouse biography written, and you could definitely watch the 2015 documentary called Amy, which is very good. But I found it very difficult to watch, and I definitely ended up in tears. Later in this episode, I'll let you know how I felt about the film Back to Black. But for now, let's start by looking at Amy's style.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Amy Winehouse!
I don't know about you, but when I think of Amy Winehouse, my mind instantly goes to so many visual symbols. There's her hair, her eyeliner, a Fred Perry polo top, and definitely her Monroe piercing, which is basically where you have a stud that's positioned above the upper lip on the left side. So it's said to mimic the Hollywood actress Marilyn Monroe's own beauty spot. However, her beauty spot was actually way more on her cheek. So I've always wondered how it kind of was reinterpreted. To me, it would make more sense to call this piercing the Amy, because I feel that most people that get that piercing, it's because of Amy Winehouse. So when I first started digging into Amy's style, it was actually February last year, because I really wanted to make a video about her. I'd heard that they were making the film, and I was just like, oh my gosh. So I actually made two videos. One of them was about who could possibly play her, and the other video was purely about Amy's style. I'll definitely leave a link to that video for you in the show notes. The first thing that I kept reading, though, was how a key influence on her style was the 60s girl band, the Ronettes. And if you check out a picture of the Ronettes, it's easy to see the visual references. It's all these big, beautiful beehives, backcombed hairstyles, and of course, thick black eyeliner, which was a prerequisite throughout the 1960s. But as I began to read more about the visual link, I also learned that Ronnie Spector herself, who was the lead singer of the Ronettes, also said that she felt a strong affinity for Amy. In a 2011 Rolling Stone interview, shortly after Amy's death, Ronnie Spector said, "Every time I looked at her, it was like I was looking at myself. She had my beehive, my eyeliner, my attitude." Apparently, they didn't just connect on kind of the visual level. I know that both Ronnie and Amy definitely had tumultuous relationships in the past. So I think Ronnie definitely sensed that. And of course, there's that sadness that Amy passed so soon. But back to that hair, specifically the beehive. It was also known as a B-52 because it resembled the nose of a B-52 bomber plane from the 1950s. And the way Amy would wear it was kind of often half up and half down and often accessorized with a flower or a bandana. According to her hairdresser at the time, which was Alex Foden, he said that the beehive was never intended to be Amy's signature. He created this look for the video for her song Back to Black, and he thought that it would be a bit of fun to really play up the beehive. He backcombed it excessively and added in an extra packet of hair into the beehive section, so her hair is really big in this video, and she fell in love with it. But in the film, which I've said is a fairy tale take on her life, we're told another story of Amy's style evolution. And that is her relationship with her nan, Cynthia, who is played by one of my favorite actresses, Leslie Manville. And there is a beautiful moment in the film. It might even be the most beautiful scene of all. And that's where we see Cynthia doing Amy's hair. Cynthia is not very well at the time, by the way. And yet she's spending time on giving Amy this beautiful beehive, pretty much like the ones that she probably wore when she was a young woman. It's so clear in the film that there's this beautiful connection with her nan, who she clearly saw as someone who was very glamorous when she was younger. And the film definitely is showing us that is who influenced Amy's own style choices. So I would love to know how real that was. And I think my chat with head of hair and makeup, Peter, will help us work out a little bit more of this together. When it actually came to Amy's makeup style, I think the most noticeable thing would be her exaggerated eyeliner. It was often very thick, very black, and sometimes it would almost join right up to her eyebrows. And I feel that in the film, we almost see an evolution of the eyeliner. Again, we'll talk about that later. According to Amy's personal makeup artist at the time, Vali O'Reilly, via an interview with fellow makeup artist and brand founder Lisa Eldridge, Amy Winehouse liked to wear Rimmel London's Exaggerate liquid eyeliner, as well as their Diva red lipstick. So I love that she was clearly a high street girl. Apparently, she also liked to wear a lot of pink lipstick, and I think that's definitely that classic 60s look. And apparently she liked to use a lot of Illamasqua products. In 2021, the brand actually brought out a limited edition collection called Frankly Amy, featuring products Amy wore. And in September 2022, the brand released a second Amy collection called the Camden Collection, because Camden, London is, of course, where Amy grew up. And you will see that in this film. By the way, just to go back briefly to the video that I made about Amy's style last year, I posted it on TikTok back in February last year, and it grew to around 400,000 views, and that was right up until a couple of weeks ago. But since the film has come out, the views have gone up to over 700,000, and for me, that is proof that the love for Amy and her music isn't going anywhere. I actually posted the video more recently on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and it's on like 30-something thousand, and the comments won't stop coming. People really miss Amy. People really feel like they're missing a part of their family. I honestly believe that. And it's that love that really does make me want to speak up for the film in a sense, because anyone can write 600 words really slagging off the film, because some of these reviews, they've almost got this toxic bile kind of feel to them. And then, of course, you've got people on Reddit. And then, of course, you've got people who have never even seen the film literally just sharing somebody else's review saying, "I won't ever see this." And That's fine if you feel that way. I mean, if you feel that strongly, maybe you should talk about it. But there's nothing wrong with seeing this film and making up your own mind. I think that's a really healthy position to come from. Go watch the film. I think it's an hour and 40 minutes. Go watch it and then, you know, feel free to reach out to me in the DMs and let me know what you think. I would love to know what more people think, because right now it feels like a lot of people are just sharing somebody else's thoughts. You can find me at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram or at Charisse_Kenyon on Threads, and let me know what you think. I'm going to let you know what I think at the end. Let's look at some of the backlash about this film. I think much of it stems from the director, Sam Taylor Johnson. And I do think that whenever a woman directs a film, I think, again, there's a lot of toxic energy in the air. I'm just going to say it. I feel like there's a lot of toxic energy in the air around this film. And of course, a lot of that comes from the subject matter. Amy's a national treasure. She always will be. But I do think some of it's aimed at director Sam Taylor Johnson as well. I'm not going to go into all of the reasons why. For me, she's someone that I'd always known first as an artist. I think the first piece of her work that I remember was she did this series called Self-Portrait Suspended. And I think it was 8 images, and she would look like she was suspended in the air. I found it really stunning, you know, to see someone just lying in the air. But actually, she was suspended by ropes with the help of a bondage expert. And then the ropes were digitally removed to give this floating appearance. So I might even make a video about this for you, because if you love art, you're going to want to see these pictures. For me, that's definitely what stood out. That was in 2006, but I would say her most famous work that definitely got her in the papers would be her video portrait of footballer David Beckham. He's sleeping. It's simply called David, and that came out in 2004. I share these two kind of pieces of work with you purely to try and paint a picture of Sam's own ideas and her background. She's an artist first, and I think because of that, she's often second-guessed when it comes to her decision to move into directing. But I think it makes perfect sense. If you're a photographer, a sculptor, you go into making videos of David Beckham sleeping, a natural progression would be, let's do a whole feature film. She released Nowhere Boy in 2009, which stars her now husband, Aaron Taylor Johnson. And she directed the film adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey, that super popular book by E.L. James, in 2015. Production on Back to Black, a Studio Canal feature, began in January last year. And when the first announcements of the biopic were made, the press release said, "Back to Black will focus on Amy's extraordinary genius, creativity, and honesty that infused everything she did. A journey that took her from the craziness and colour of 90s Camden High Street to global adoration and back again." I can't lie, I wasn't bothered about who the director of the film was, but I was nervous about the casting. At the time, I imagined that the biopic was going to be as true to Amy's life as possible, so there's that need for the story to be believable. I was worried that it was going to be an actress playing dress up or playing a character, when actually this is about a real human being who affected a lot of lives. In the early days of talking about Back to Black, apparently Stranger Things actress Millie Bobby Brown wanted to play Amy, and I was just not here for that. I love her as Eleven in Stranger Things. I haven't seen her in anything else yet, so that's probably part of the problem, but I just couldn't see her as Amy. I did wonder if actress and singer Hailee Steinfeld could be a better fit. That's purely because she sings as well as acts. But I guess I didn't really want someone who was American to play Amy, because accents are so different. And I feel that within the UK, accents range. And then even in London itself. So I was just like, I don't know who could do this. And even to this day on my video posts, people are constantly saying Lady Gaga should have played Amy. I'm sorry, that is purely because they definitely see a similarity in their looks. But if Lady Gaga played Amy Winehouse, people would come to see a Lady Gaga film. They would not come to learn anything about Amy. And I just don't know. I don't know if she could pull it off. And I say that as a Gaga fan, before you say anything. The actress that was chosen to play Amy was Marisa Abella, known as the very annoying Yasmin in one of my favorite shows, Industry. She is so good at playing Yasmin. I can't stand her character. So that's how good she is. I'm also guessing that Marisa's Jewish heritage, which she shares with Amy, made a lot of sense when it came to casting. Now that I have seen the film, I will admit I do believe Marisa in the role of Amy. And that's no small thing. When you look at images of Marisa and Amy side by side, they look nothing alike. And this is not about a lookalike competition. I get that. But I have to say, when I watched Marisa in the role, I never got that uncomfortable feeling. Like, for me, when I knew I was going to watch this film, part of me was like, if you don't like it, if it's uncomfortable, if there's a disconnect, you can leave. But I watched it all the way through. I was definitely gripped all the way through. I had that feeling of I could cry all the way through, but I never did cry. You know, when you can just feel something in your throat and it just doesn't go away. So I felt that. I don't know if it was nerves. I don't know if it was almost the nervousness of, no, they're going to ruin this. This is going to go bad. But I didn't get any of that disconnect that you can sometimes have when you're watching a biopic. And that definitely isn't just down to Marisa, even though she is amazing. And I have to say, the entire cast did a great job, particularly the guy who played Blake. I don't know about you, but I've always hated the idea of Blake Field as Civil, who is, of course, Amy's ex-husband. But the actor playing him was actually really entertaining. Again, the film was meant to be a fairy tale, so I have no idea what Blake really was in real life. But Jack O'Connell, who is from the E4 drama Skins, I think he did a great job. And it did make it feel, there's like one major scene when they are falling in love. It just felt like a very classic, more kind of Hollywood love story. But aside from the actors, of course, the hair, makeup and wardrobe people are so essential to us believing those characters. The film was styled by PC Williams, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about her later on because I was lucky enough to go see her give a talk on the film. And the hair and makeup was by Peter Dunstall, who is, of course, today's very special guest. So I think now is the perfect time to share my chat with Peter. And she starts by shocking me completely with the answer to my first question. I asked her, how much time did she have to prepare for working on Back to Black?
Four hours. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're exaggerating.
No. I got a phone call about the job on the Wednesday. I met everyone face-to-face on the Friday evening. I got handed a call sheet Friday evening and I started on the Sunday. So Saturday was my day to load the truck. So, and they only would allow me to have the truck for 4 hours. So, I had 4 hours. Actually, the thought of that now makes me feel a bit sick, and I don't know quite how that happened. It was obviously some kind of weird force of energy that made that happen for me. But yeah,
Peter, I know. I have to say, everybody else has been on this show, right? I think the minimum is like 6 weeks to 2 months.
Yeah.
And they go and get mood boards and yeah. They go and look through archives.
Yes.
So yes. What did you get to do? Just fill up your makeup truck and go?
Pretty much. On the Saturday, before I loaded the truck, I think I was only allowed to get into the truck at about midday. So I live in Brixton. So I went to the hair shops. I knew I was going to need some black hair. So I just, I bought bundles of everything you can think of, weft and wigs and bumps and lumps and you name it, I got it. But it was all second guessing stuff because I hadn't even met Marisa, so it was all just a little bit wild. I got the scripts. I think it must have been on a Thursday. My good friend who was up in Scotland sent her the script. She broke things down for me. She was like, Peter, we're starting back to front. It's like you're doing her latest stuff up first. I was like, whoa, okay. Well, that made me feel better in a way. Like I knew it was heavier workload, but that's what I knew. I didn't tune into Amy until that happened. I knew the songs before, but I really didn't know what she looked like or followed her that much when she was young and doing the Frank album. I knew the songs, of course, but I didn't acknowledge that until I saw this hairdo. And then I was like, who's that? I want to be her friend. Who is that? So that's sort of when that. So I was familiar with that. That was my period. That was, a little bit of aspiration for me when I was younger as well. I was like, yeah, I'm doing a few of those. I felt comfortable, but at the same time, it's period. It's not now. So my memories of things have sort of softened off a little bit. And when you, I mean, the beauty about it is, and I don't want to think, it's Google. Every event, she's everywhere. So Glastonbury, okay, Google it. There she is. And it's just not one photo, it's a trillion photos. So that's what I was getting to match. And I was matching effectively. So I had lots of reference that way. Sam Taylor Johnson, obviously amazing. And she knew exactly what she wanted. So I had great conversations with her. Continuity lady, wonderful. So she'd had like, so the predominantly a lot of the work, I don't want to say it's totally been done for me, but in a way it has because it's scripted, the factual parts there. So it was my creativity and my planning really was just taken away because I didn't have the prep time. So, if I had the prep time, I would have probably been able to construct and build more thoughtfully as opposed to, I've got 2 hours, boom, and then the next time I'd have to redo it again to match. I was like, okay, what bundle of black hair did I use for that day? So
And you
it
do
was,
hair and makeup, right?
yeah, I did. I had, I'm a hair and makeup designer, but the reality is on the day, I didn't have time to do both. So Tamara Mead, she looked after the makeup for me and we all did it all together. But it was, Tamara at the end of the day, poor girl, had to do that beautiful eyeliner while her head was being moved around and generally on a bus somewhere. Well, never in a, it sounds like filming sounds so.
I wish somebody had had a camera on you.
Oh
That's what
my!
I want to see.
And you know what? Nearly every day we did a big thing. We're like, why didn't we do one of those? What's it called? Like time lapse. We were always so chasing ourselves. It wasn't until the end of the day we'd go, why didn't we time lapse that? Like that would have been so cool. It's like, oh God, just no time to think about things like that. But I'm really regretful we didn't have many of those kind of opportunities. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just can't get over this. Like,
No.
you must be a certain type of character to be able to roll with this.
When I was offered the job, I was so excited. And then it was very quickly the realization of, oh shit, now I've got to do it. I've got to do it now. And then of course, like it's not like a fantasy character that I can make up. It's
Exactly.
legit. Like this, everyone's got a memory of her, and it's a strong memory. And I've got a responsibility now. So yeah, deep swallow. And yeah, I'm gonna. My big thanks is to caffeine. Caffeine really helped me a lot.
I was like, is that an agency? Like, no.
I don't know. But yeah, so it was it was kind of crazy. It was yeah, it felt a bit wild.
And how many days were you shooting for then? Was it like two?
Oh my God, you know what? I keep on forgetting how many weeks all up it was because it felt like it's weird. Depends on where my mind is. Sometimes it feels so quick, and other times it feels so long. Because we went to New York as well, which was fantastic. I think it was about 8 weeks or maybe 10. I can't remember how long filming was now, but it was hard because we did a lot of weekends and stuff because we were filming in Soho, and we had to not prepping properly. Makes it hard when you're on a makeup truck and everything's all nice and organized and the truck's stationary, you can flow a little bit. You sort of know where your stock is and you can think, oh yes, I want to use that little bit of something and there it is. But 9 times out of 10, because we were filming in central London, we couldn't come back to base. So they would put us in, like, sometimes lovely bougie hotels, but that equals really dark walls and small, cute little nooks. It's like, no, worst thing for hair and makeup. Or like, and I think the location guys were, like, so over me by the end, because I kept on saying, I just need, I need light, and I need it from the front and the back and preferably above, and I'll just get, like, a makeup mirror and with a bit of lighting around it. It was like, that's great for this part of the face. But everywhere else, and of course, black hair. Like I felt like I was going blind. I was like, is it this one? I kept on like shaking and holding all this black hair off all the time, going, oh my God, like I can't see it. Is it the synthetic one? Is it the natural one? Is it the one with the bend in it? Is it the one? Yeah, so it did make
me. I'm sorry, you deserve a medal, because Amy Winehouse she's iconic for her voice and her style. That eyeliner, the hair.
Yeah.
It's literally the most important part of the show. Even more than the clothes.
I'm sorry, you're making me
No, they owe you big time, I'm sorry, because I was looking, this is what I do when I'm watching something, whether I've spoken to the people involved or not. I can't help, and it's because I'm a photographer as well. So my eyes literally zoom in.
Oh, Christ. All right. Give me a rating. Give me a tomato rating. What am I?
No, I loved how, because you know one thing about Amy, you can see progress and change through the eyeliner. Even if you only focused on the eyeliner, you could see change in her life. Mm-hmm. How she was feeling. Mm-hmm. The fact that she often slept in her makeup was apparent.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me, I know you said it was tough being able to get everything you need, but was there a product that you were like, you were using it all the time? What was your most used product for Amy?
Tattoo sealer. the sealer, because like the tattoos were always such a big part of the conversation as well. So in the mornings, poor Marisa would have to sit there in cold weather, half naked, while we put all the tattoos on. And of course the tattoos were time sensitive as well, so it'd be like, obviously the later years she had everything on, and they gradually, but because we worked back to front, it was like, so sometimes in a day we'd have to wipe off and put on 3 different kinds of tattoos because of depending on where we're shooting in the story. So trying to remember that as well. So like, you know, different parts of the team were like on tattoo duty, would be like, yeah, have we got the sailor, daddy's girl, have we got Betty Boo on? It's like, oh my God, yeah, Betty Boo's on, the anchor's on. It was lots of checking things like that we found busy doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to watch the film again now, because that's got to be a sign of something good, because I wasn't even looking at the tattoos. And I know Marisa isn't tattooed. You know, I've watched her in industry.
Yeah.
But it's mad that I didn't hone in on them. So
another thing that Marisa being so, she's a wonderful human and she is so into, you know, doing what she does, letting us have dry lips, like that would have been so uncomfortable and so gross, like to permanently sort of have that on your lip. So I was just like, oh, yeah. Thanks for letting that stay on there, Marisa, you know, because it really, you know, it added for us, and, you know, and then, you know, sometimes, you know, we would have to add more and stuff, but it's not a comfortable, nice feeling having that on your lips. And I think, okay, product-wise, hairspray would probably be number 2, because depending on what kind of hair I was sticking in, depending on what kind of hairspray I needed, like I used a lot of synthetic hair, and so, you know, a bit of fixing plastic spray often worked best for that. And then sometimes I would use, like, you know, Silhouette and Sam Knight's, the green can I really liked. So depending on what hair was in on the days, depending on what hairspray I'd gravitate. But I am a bit of a product junkie, actually.
Eyeliner were you relying on? Because that's one of my favourite things to wear personally.
Okay, it was the MAC Tracker. Well, I haven't got my notes in front of me.
Not Black Track. Weird.
Black Track. But in the pot, yes.
You're putting it on by hand.
With a Louise Young brush. Do you know her makeup brushes?
I know that name. I haven't tried anything.
I have. I don't know why I didn't think to put my makeup notes in front of me. With the Louise Young makeup brush.
Is it
And yeah.
slanted brush?
No, it's just a nice, it's the perfect sort of weight for an eyeliner. It's just, I have got a mood board. Shall I send you my mood boards?
That would be amazing. Black Track makes so much sense. I used to wear my eyeliner, it's probably Amy influenced actually, a lot thicker, like really thick. And now I'm kind of like, I like the, you know, like the more felt tip pen ones where it's more about elongating the eye rather than having like this thick chunky liner. But yeah, Black Track looks so much like what Amy would wear, but I think she actually wore a Rimmel one.
Yeah, there's no real, there's only a couple of photographs of her holding it, and we think it is a Rimmel. But for the ease of, because we were filming so often, not like, you know, we'd be doing a younger scene or later scene, and it was just too hard to remove those kind of products. And that's why, you know, things like, I know that she used to use Benefit's Moonbeam, which sort of isn't that great on camera for us, so we sort of would find other products to sort of do that kind of same thing. But that's why we chose the MAC.
Did you feel nervous about being given this responsibility? Aside from the time constraints, but wasn't there, because you know, when we first jumped on here before I started recording, I was like, I'm an Amy fan. I was very nervous about seeing this film. Were you nervous about working on this film?
Yeah, I was, and it was equal. So my excitement for it and my, yeah, I want a piece of that. I want to do that. That's, you know, I feel like the period, the hair, the make, like I can do this. And then very quickly, I was like, whoa, that this is, everyone knows what she looks like. There's no hiding. I'm not going to be able to just go, oh, it was a creative choice, and which like it's like it is what it is. And I found, what I found tricky was, because when I tuned into Amy Winehouse in the day, it was when things were getting big. So when I had to track back and find images of her young with that headband in, I'm like, what? No, you got this wrong. Everyone, no. Let's look deeper. I doubt it. I doubt it. And I couldn't get into it. I was like, this is weird. Like how, so weirdly, creatively, that was harder for me to go there, because I didn't know of that until I started looking. So that was weird for me. And then that middle section of her developing, there's lots of video footage of her rehearsing with her guitar and stuff, and she's clearly just had heated rollers in her hair, and it's like bouncy, like weirdness sort of going on, and you know she's clearly like developing a period vintage look, but it's definitely that 90s variation of doing it. So everything wasn't brushed out, it was curly and bouncy. I was like, oh, okay, I can't remember that so much, but it's there in front of me. Let's do it. So that I found that interesting. I was definitely more confident with the bigger, crazier stuff, because that's what that was in the Heat magazines, wasn't it? That was like, that was
Everywhere.
everywhere.
Once she got huge as well, it's like the film did a really good job of the paparazzi bits, which I hated. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the time she was looking a bit bedraggled, out of it, and you know, you would see her hair kind of like not looking so neat, but she's
And they're
got all
holding it
those
up.
gear, and it
They're
was
holding it up as a
bouncing
team.
around. It's
Yes.
But yeah, I feel your team, your hair and makeup team, you absolutely did the best that you could do given what you've told me. And I think you did a great job regardless of that. Do you know what I mean? So just tell me, last question, what was your favorite thing? Now it's all over. What was your favorite thing or day or time or look?
The whole Nana thing, the whole that bit, I just loved so much. I love their relationship. I love the story. I love, like, I was like the whole her doing the hair thing, like, I love that bit, and I was so excited to do that bit. And I sort of made that beehive. I sort of took a nod to my old hairdressing teacher, actually. Well, in my early years, I tried to do it a little bit more traditional, as opposed to what she ended up with, because that's what the nan would have done. That's how she knew a beehive. So I did do it a little bit, bit more 60s then. Actually, that day was a funny day because there was a costume. So I just did this hairstyle. I was actually like really quite, it was the first thing that I had time to really think about as well, because I knew it was coming up, and I put a lot of thought on how, and Sam, of course, we had these conversations and we sort of knew what it should look like, but I was really pleased about it and I was happy, and I went to set and the whole nana scene, this, I've been waiting for this, and then I was like, oh, let's try another top on. And I was like, okay. Then I see this tight top go over the beehive. I was like, let it go, Peter, let it go. And then it was like a little Fred Perry went on. Like, the Fred Perry's about this big. Marissa's only this big, and the Fred Perry's this big. So I see that go over the top of the beehive. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, but the texture's good. That's fine. That's real. That's getting real. And then I see a steamer go, because there were some creases in the Fred Perry. And then, oh, I was like, steam, pet. I was like, okay, I just got to go with this. I got to work with this. It's real. So, yeah, that was sort of one of my days of just when I sort of thought, oh, yeah, I get the hard reality of what filming life actually really is.
It's not your film, Peter.
Totally. That's a perfect scenario of how just when you think that you can have a little moment, yeah, it gets steamed away.
That's the best part to end on.
So that was Peter Dunstall. I really hope you enjoyed our chat. She really opened my eyes to just the possibilities. I'll be sure to share a link to her Instagram so you can see more of her work. And I think that whatever you think of this movie, which is hopefully based on you watching the movie, you cannot deny that Peter had a huge job on her hands. I would call it a baptism of fire, really. Usually when I speak to anyone involved in TV or movies, I think the worst kind of time frame they might come up with is like 6 to 8 weeks. But a few hours, I cannot even begin to imagine. So I think Peter did an incredible job, and apparently it was only her second time leading a hair and makeup team. So I think she's going to be one to watch in the future. Again, if like me, you're an Amy fan and you've been feeling really nervous about watching this film, before you join the negative commentary, which I know is easy when it's someone you feel passionate about, again, I'm going to say this so many times, just go and see the film and form your own opinion. I've seen, particularly on Reddit, I've seen comments from people saying, I will not go and see this film legally. So I'm like, okay, you're cool to go and watch it, but you just refuse to pay for it. What point are you making? Who are you sticking it to? Go watch the film at the cinema, hear the music, fall in love with Amy again. And then after you've watched it, if you want to critique it or if you want to praise it, go for it, because you'll be giving your own opinion rather than borrowing somebody else's. Speaking of somebody else's, if you want my opinion on the film, it was actually that talk that I mentioned earlier that costume designer PC Williams gave. She did an event at Beyond Retro, which is a well-known vintage store in London. It has a few sites. And it was her talking that persuaded me to go and watch the film. As you know, this show is very much about the people who bring TV and movies and editorials and music videos to life. I love knowing what's going on behind the scenes. I love being backstage at Fashion Week much rather than sitting front row. I feel that the people who put these things together, they don't really get the spotlight. Obviously, there's awards from time to time, but the people on the hair, makeup and wardrobe teams, they don't really get that adoration that the stars do, but I think the stars wouldn't be stars without these teams. So I think they all did well. I have no clue how much time PC Williams had to bring a team and a wardrobe together for each character, but I know it was more than Peter had. When it comes to the film itself, I was relieved that it wasn't bad. And I mean that, it wasn't bad. I was worried about how they might paint Amy. Do I think it's a 5-star rating? Not quite. I think biopics are really tough to make, but I definitely think Back to Black is worth watching, and I definitely think you should go and watch it at the cinema. I do not think it deserves anything less than 3 stars. That's, I will say that. Like I said, a biopic is always going to be tough, but when the subject is Amy Winehouse, you're fighting a losing battle, I think. It's too soon for many of us, and Amy was too much of a national treasure for those of us in the UK. I would love to know if the rest of the world feels the same way. Part of me feels that they don't. I feel that Amy was ours, so this feels very personal. It's so easy to just get angsty and upset when you hear that someone's trying to make a film about Amy's life. But I also think if we take a minute, imagine the pressure that the team working on this film would have felt. If you think Sam Taylor Johnson and Marisa Abella are kind of chilling out while making this film, I think you'd be very wrong. I do think their hearts and minds were in the right place. And by the way, Marisa Abella is actually singing throughout the entire film. She's not a singer, but she did not mess up. I'm sorry. She did a really good job in this film. I think anyone that says she did a crap job, I wouldn't believe them as such. I think maybe they're just too tied to the emotions of the film. I'm not sure, but she does a great job. And that's that. I did hear some interviews with Marisa and Sam, and Sam Taylor Johnson herself said that when the film finished, she wanted people to go home and play their favorite songs from Amy. And that is exactly what I did. When I got home after watching Back to Black, I dug out my last cigarette. I smoke a cigarette like once every 3 months. So I found this cigarette. I got a cold drink. I went and sat in my garden. The sun was shining. And I was listening to Amy's In My Bed, which is one of my favorite songs of hers. For me, that moment was a gift, and it just made me grateful for watching the film. I watched the film. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. I probably will watch it again. So I just think, in conclusion, much like anything else Sam Taylor Johnson could make, it's going to be impossible for her to please everyone. But at the end of the day, art is not meant to please everyone. And I do feel that films and biopics are a form of art. If you're going to try and please everybody, I think that's making content. It's something that's designed to be consumed and to be forgotten about. So yeah, that's my take on it. I hope I did some kind of justice in this episode. It's really hard not to put too much history in. I don't want to break down every single Amy look. I just wanted to paint a picture that would support what I think was a great interview with head of hair and makeup Peter Dunstall. So let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know what you think about the film, if you've seen it, of course. And let me know if you're planning to see it, if you're one of my US listeners. I would love to know. You can find me in the DMs over at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram, or get in touch on Threads at Charisse_Kenyon. If you did enjoy this episode, please leave a rating on Spotify. I do see them. I do appreciate them. Or feel free to write a review anywhere else you like to listen. Don't forget, there's also a newsletter that you can read for free at beautymenotes.substack.com. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next time. Wish I could say it breaks my heart like you did in the beginning.